We continue our looking at virtues and vices this morning with the gluttony and temperance theme, with gluttony being perhaps one of the most acceptable of the deadly sins. Growing up as a skinny boy, among other skinny boys in our family, we had contests to see how much we could eat. It wasn't a contest with lima beans or peas. We were counting pancakes and waffles. And now, almost 50 years later, I worry that not much has changed. For the last two times I was out recently, I exercised so little restraint. And I was with church people even. And in both cases, after enjoying a delicious, generous portion for the main course and feeling comfortably full, we ordered dessert. And in my case, it was a large, decadent, supersized dessert. But I'm happy to say that the church people that I was with were very forgiving, and out of the goodness of their heart, they helped bear my burden. And with much sacrifice, they ate a portion of my gigantic ice cream special. And furthermore, they didn't report my sin to the elders. It's a universal necessity, food is, and we can't avoid it. In fact, most of us love it very much, and every now and then we like even more than we should at a nice big buffet or even at our monthly potlucks when we can go up for seconds. And now that we start talking about food, soon some of us are looking at our watches, not sure how much longer it is until lunchtime, and what are we going to eat, and I'm starting to get hungry. It's normal for us to think about food mid-morning, and some of us, we think about the same thing again and again every lunchtime, a sandwich or rice, or we are content with the same others like wide varieties, but we still like it all the same. I should note here in talking about food that there is a whole host of illnesses and disorders around food. Uncontrollable eating, binging on food, or overly limited eating or restricting our food intake, or feeling guilty when we think about food and not able to enjoy normal portions of food, or we're concerned about our bodies and the images of our bodies, a whole host of struggles and suffering around food. Food is a natural part of life. And one of the fascinating observations is when we turn to the Bible and think about food, it's really the first story in our Bibles. The first sin happens not as we moderns might think around violence or sexuality, but it happens around forbidden fruit. Forbidden fruit. It which was a delight to the eyes and was good for food that tempted Adam and Eve. It was hunger for food that got our first parents in trouble in the garden. Geoffrey Chaucer in the Canterbury Tales writes his poem, "O cursed gluttony, our first distress, cause of our first confusion, first temptation, the very origin of our damnation. Gluttony has corrupted all the earth, Adam and his wife as well, from paradise to labor to hell. Were driven for that vice, they were indeed. O gluttony, it is to thee we owe our grief. Oh, if we knew the maladies that follow on excess and gluttonies, sure, we would diet, we would tempt our pleasure in sitting down at table, show some measure." Most of us have tried at times to show some measure. We have tried diets and exercise, certain types of fasting along the way. Others have experienced self-imposed or doctor-imposed restrictions around their food intake, sugars and carbs and excess. Jesus, right after he was baptized, goes on a hunger fast in the desert. And after 40 days, Jesus is tempted to turn stones into bread. And unlike our first parents, Adam and Eve, Jesus is able to resist the temptation to indulge and to satisfy his hungers. But ironically enough, while Jesus says no to the devil right at the beginning of his ministry in the desert and maintains his discipline and piety in the desert, in his ministry, Jesus didn't always show that much restraint, or at least as much restraint as the crowds wanted him to show. Jesus was unlike the disciplined disciples of John the Baptist, who ate no bread and drank no wine. Jesus, in Luke 7, is accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. Our Lord and Savior, we know, enjoyed food. He enjoyed dining out at meals and spending time at table with people. Jesus told stories about feasting and parties and lavish celebrations. Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a large, grand, open, free banquet. And in fact, the center of our faith is a meal. We celebrate and remember this morning the meal, the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples, which summarizes almost everything about Jesus' ministry. Jesus' earthly ministry was about sacrifice, about sharing with others. It's about trusting in God's provision for food, as the Israelites did in the wilderness for manna. So God provides our sustenance. This food is what God offers us in love for the world, and love for enough, love for each one of us, and it's enough. So what then can we call this discipline or this sin of gluttony, this disordered relationship with food? For some, it's gathering too much on our plates when we lack the discipline to say no. And for others, in other cases, it's too much discipline in saying no to good food, overly controlling, limiting what goes inside because we can't trust God enough. Gluttony at the heart, we could say, is the human attempt to find salvation and happiness in something other than God. To find salvation, happiness in food or drink or overly controlling our hungers. Gluttony is illustrated by the people of Israel in the wilderness, unable to trust that God will provide every day enough, the necessary daily food and drink. And so we overgather and we overconsume, we overcontrol. You should say, even as all of us are infected with this sin of greed, whether rich or poor, whether we have or have not, so all of us, whether body size is not important, because we all struggle with this sin of overconsumption or limiting or issues around food, binging, uncontrollable, finding pleasure in food, preoccupied with food or what it will do to us. We all have our struggles. There aren't that many verses in the Bible on gluttony. There's a few proverbs that connect gluttony and laziness as a stereotype. There's also Paul writing to the Philippians about other food issues in the New Testament around clean and unclean, talking about those who are overly preoccupied with food, that their God is their belly, enslaved to their hungers and desires or their food issues. Gluttony was given prominence in the 3rd and 4th century in the desert as the ancient fathers went out and tried to find personal fulfillment in getting close to God and then being in touch with their other physical desires and hungers for food, and they produced this list of deadly sins. Our food issues today aren't their food issues, but we still have our own food issues in our country, in our world. And some of them are still the same as when the Corinthian church came together to celebrate communion, where some went away filled and others went away hungry. that first century potluck agape meal where the rich would bring the best food and eat and drink and go home stuffed, and the working class came late and there was nothing left for them. They didn't bring as much. They went home hungry. So friends, how can we find some balance in our food consumption? Our vision is to find that place of contentment, that place of trusting God's daily provision, and that would be enough in our lives, and finding the place to live with generosity and sharing with a world that is struggling in its food inequity.